As a young greenhorn pastor, I began my ministry about 15 years ago as an ordained minister. One of the first gifts I was giving upon completion of the ordination process and exam was a communion set. A little portable, about the size of a cigar box communion set that I could take with me out into the world, into the homes of shut-ins and people in need of receiving the church coming to them. I didn't really know how to use it. In my young theology, I didn't really understand all the complexities of communion and the holiness of the Lord's Supper. But I tried, and I went, and I served. On one occasion, very early in my first pastorate, I went and visited one of the patriarchs in our local congregation there. He was a gentleman that had been a rock of faith and guidance for the community as well as the church. But as he had become much elderly, things were making less sense to him. His body was deteriorating, certainly physically, but also mentally, as many of us have friends and family members who take on those challenges of dementia or Alzheimer's. My friend, Mr. George, had begun that journey in his life. I visited with him in the nursing home, and I thought it would be such a holy experience to break the bread, as we sang about this morning, to share the wine, to receive the body of Christ in worship. As Mr. George and I gathered there, his friend and roommate in the room, I thought it would be nice to share the communion with him too. And I had it all planned that it would move seamlessly. And the scenes unraveled almost immediately. It wasn't very holy. It wasn't real intimate. And in fact, before we left, it had become quite comical. Mr. George had never received communion in his nursing home. And not only had he never received communion there, he never received the elements as they'd been prepared in this communion set that I had. They gave us little bitty pieces of unleavened bread. It was more like a pill, a tablet. They were stale, dry. Although they were small, boy, they packed a big punch because you had to chew them forever to get them to fully disintegrate. I shared the meal with Mr. George, and I moved on to his roommate, and I had gotten to the intimate scripture reading with Mr. George's roommate, and Mr. George started his move my way. He broke up and into the silence and the intimacy of sharing Holy Scripture and explaining his communion, and Mr. George took the communion bread out of his mouth and holding it in his hand. He perched it in front of my nose and said, "What's this?" I said, "Mr. George, that's the bread for your communion," trying to maintain the solemn holiness of the moment, talking very softly. Mr. George had also gotten to the point where he couldn't hear very well. He said, "What'd you say?" I said, "Mr. George, that's the bread for your communion." He said, "That's the President's communion?" He said, "Well, give it to him. I don't want it." And it all fell apart. The holiness that I'd tried to attain, the symbolism and explanation of the miracle of grace that was there for Mr. George and me, well, I just made a terrible mess out of it. But even then, friends, I've come to understand and appreciate in our brokenness, in our inadequacies, in our failure to fully understand what happens in the holy meal, guess what? God is still there. He's still filling us and nourishing us and sustaining us through His grace. Even though we come as a poor reflection of His glory, His grace is without end. You see, I come to understand in that day and as I matured in my life of faith that the holiness of the meal is not dependent upon me so much as it is the one who gives it. We're going to blow it in life, in worship. And God comes and claims us each time with His forgiveness. The meal is a reminder that Jesus Christ, in the words of our text today, came down to us from heaven, the gift of heaven, so we may be lifted up for life and love forever. In the staleness of the bread that we often experience with unleavened bread, you know, I find in those symbols of the communion oftentimes what the meal is not. What the bread isn't so often speaks to us what God is. Let me say it this way. In the staleness, in the temporary nature of the bread, we're reminded of the unending and eternal impact of our God. The bread will become old. It won't fully nourish us. But Jesus Christ's love and grace never ends. And it is all-encompassing, fulfilling our needs. Jesus is what the bread is not. Sometimes we learn just as much through receiving the meal, the reminder of what it doesn't offer us. We're reminded what Jesus gives us freely. It's not stale. His love, His grace is without end. It's not a sample, not just a little fleeting taste. His joy and His deliverance into our life is all encompassing and never ends. You know, today is the birthday of my Mama Gladys. I think about that great woman of faith quite often and her pouring her love into my life and so many. If there's ever been a saint to walk upon this earth, it would have had to been Gladys Wilbanks. But as good as she was and as honest as she wasn't going to give you all her recipes if you asked her straight out. She's going to hold back a little bit, I think, and not fully divulge all the secrets that her years of wisdom and teaching had learned about cooking. Manya tried for years to perfect her pound cake. Mama would give her a few hints along the way. She gained her strength throughout the years. And then finally, just as Mama died, in fact, it was the day we celebrated her funeral, Manya said, "I finally got it exactly like Mama's." She'd given it to her in pieces, in parts. But ultimately, she delivered the gift of great taste to our family. You see, our scripture today, Jesus tells us that the bread that came down from heaven was my body, my gift for you. Not only is the gift of Jesus' life not temporary, not only is His love lasting forever, but His love and life is the best tasting gift that we'll ever put into our mouths a life of faith. Like my mamaw's cake was delicious. It nourished our souls and our appetite in a way beyond anything else that we tasted. God's grace. Through the blandness of the meal, what it isn't, right, church? What the bread doesn't give us, God through Jesus Christ does. There's nothing bland about the love of our Lord. There's nothing stale in the grace and the goodness of God's relationship with us. It is good. It is nourishing. And it lasts forever. You know, Jesus says in our scripture today, He said that the body I give, the bread of heaven came down to you. I think of, and that certainly is a reminder for us, as manna, as the first gift of God from heaven. The manna from heaven fed the people of Israel as they were in the wilderness, and the manna from heaven came all the way down and dwelt upon the ground. And the people, they picked it up. They fed upon it. And it nourished them. See, friends, I'm reminded in that imagery that God came, Lord Himself, came down from heaven to be at the pit of our brokenness and emptiness as if and when we're on the ground. Have you ever felt like you were on the ground? As low as you could go? As empty as you could be? At the height of this despair or brokenness or whatever peril you find yourself in when you have hit rock bottom. We've been there. And that's where Jesus, the bread of heaven, comes to us. Not at our best. Not claiming us only when we've won or when we get it right, but when we are broken and on bottom, He comes to us from heaven above down to the earth below and meets us on the ground of life. And He tells us in our text today, did you hear the words? Not only, friends, not only, church, does He meet us on the ground, but this is the words Jesus said to us. He raises us up with Him through His grace and glory. Wow. Would you consider that with me today if we receive this meal? That not only does Jesus deliver us from our sin, from our brokenness, but Jesus delivers us from a sinful world. See, so much of the times that we find ourselves on bottom, it's not by what we've done. It's the challenges we face from without. The anger. The desertion of relationships. The rejection from those we thought were friends. The unfairness in business or at work, at school. Whatever we face in this world, that's not only the result of our sins, but the result of living in a sinful world. Jesus delivers us from that too. From ourselves. And from the world around us. He raises us up and delivers us through His grace. But for us to be raised up, friends, Jesus had to be lowered into the tomb. It was in his defeat, in his destruction, that we receive victory and restoration. He raises us up by lowering himself, giving his body, his flesh, his bread, so that we may be filled more fully in the here and now and know his joy forever. Amen.